Tonight, my lecture will be on one of Krishna's incarnations. The last few days have been very, very auspicious. On Thursday, we had Ekadashi. That is always auspicious. Then on, thank you. On Friday, we had Vamana Dwadasi, the appearance day of Lord Vamana, who I'm going to speak on. Then yesterday was the disappearance of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. And today, of course, is the full moon. We start the new month. Those who are strict Gaudiya Vaishnavas, starting from today, they'll take no milk for 1 month. And you may have heard, today is also the full blood moon. Don't look at the moon. It's inauspicious. Yes. You might be tempted, but refrain. So there is one nice mantra which we sing glorifying Krishna's incarnation as Vamana Dev. Chalayasi Vikrame Balim Adbhuta Vamana Padanakanira Janita Janapavana Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana Padanakanira Janita Janapavana Keshavadrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadishahare Jaya Jagadishahare Jaya Jagadishahare Keshavadrita Trivikrama Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshavadrita Urukram Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Jaya Jagadisha Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. That is perfect mridanga playing. Srila Prabhupada is so happy. I would like you all to clap for that excellent mridanga playing. May you live forever and always play for me. So, one of the core essential teachings of the Krishna consciousness philosophy, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. God has unlimited incarnations or expansions or avatars. How many? As many as waves in the ocean. There's no end. They keep coming. But the fundamental principle of Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever the incarnation, the origin, the source is Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, the origin. Now, in this mantra that I just chanted, it is a prayer by the great Vaishnava poet Jayadev Goswami, and he lists 10 specific incarnations. But for each one, the end of the verse, Keshava, he's also agreeing with the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, that these are all Keshava, or Krishna's incarnation. Keshava has three different meanings, but Keshava means Krishna. And this is called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. My God brother said I should say something about Srila Prabhupada. So when this movement was incorporated in 1966, it was suggested, why don't you call it the International Society for God Consciousness? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. If we say International Society for God, then they will bring this God, they will bring that God. No. It must be International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because this name, Krishna, can you all say? Is scientific. It is not dogmatic. It is the best name for God. From one angle of vision, God has no name. Who's going to give him a name? But from another angle of vision, he has so many names because he has unlimited qualities, and specifically his names, which are very nice, are the ones which mention his relationships with his devotees. Like we say, Yashodanandana, the mother of God. And there are so many names, Rukmini Dwarakadish, as we have in this temple. But Prabhupada said, but if you have to settle on one name, this name, what was that name? Very good. All attractive. Outside the principle of all attraction, then there's no meaning to the word Godhead or God. So God is that person who is all attractive. So Jayadeva Goswami has listed 10 incarnations of Keshava. Keshava, he has long, black, nice, very nice hair, very fine. Keshava, the one who killed the Keshi demon in Vrindavan. And then also Keshava, the one who controls Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Ooh, very interesting. He's the supreme controller, Keshava. So, Vamanadev, the particular avatar, he's mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, in the fifth canto, and in the fifth canto, Shukadev Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit, and he says, later on, I will give the full delineation of this Vamana avatar. So that appears in the eighth canto. The eighth canto has 24 chapters. So from chapters 15 to 23 is all about Vamana avatar. And there's great detail, which I started on Monday. I started to read as much as I could. I was even reading here today for several hours. So let's see how Krishna empowers me to say something about Lord Vamana. But first, I need your blessings. So please raise your hands and bless me by chanting the Maha Mantra too loud. I'll drink to that. Thank you very much. This is only water. Don't get excited. Jai. So, this particular pastime, lila, or dramatic performance. The word lila means God comes down to earth from the kingdom of God, spiritual world, and performs activities that are impossible for anyone else to perform. Inconceivable. So that is called lila. No matter what he does, whatever God does, it's enjoyment. It's a pleasure excursion. Whether he's embracing someone or killing someone, it's a pleasure excursion for him. So let's go back millions of years. Let's go back in time. And in the universe, we have the demons and the demigods. Like on Earth, you have the Republicans and the Democrats. So on a larger scale, you have demons and demigods. Demons, they're opposed to God. Either they reject him, but they don't want to follow his order, his rule. They want to live independently. And the demigods, they are God's authorized agents, and they are obedient to the will of God. And these two, demons and demigods, they're always clashing. They're always fighting. So thousands and thousands of years ago, in the higher regions, the demigods defeated the demons very soundly. And many of the demons died. But then this powerful Brahmana, Shukracharya, he brought the demons back to life. Ooh, he would be very popular right now in the United States. But he's not going to come. But this Shukracharya, by his brahminical and mystic powers, brought the demons and their leader, Bali, back to life. And then, because he had done that, Bali Maharaj, their leader, in order to show his appreciation, he started to worship Shukracharya as his guru, and therefore Bali and his followers, the Brahmanas, blessed them, and they became super powerful. So that's one lesson. And Prabhupada taught us this lesson, that if you want to become very powerful, you worship your spiritual master. Here in our movement, we worship Srila Prabhupada twice in the morning. The first prayer, Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam, Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Then later in the morning, again, we worship our founder Acharya, our spiritual master. And by doing that, we become spiritually powerful. We become very, very potent. It's called Brahma Tejas. You get supernatural powers. So even though they're demons, because they have accepted Shukracharya as their guru and they have agreed to do rituals, they have become super powerful. So what do you think is on their mind? Retaliation. It's natural. Tit for tat. You strike me, I strike back. So Bali and all of his millions of warriors approach Indra's capital city. In some texts, they say that Indra's planet is the planet Venus. I have read things like that. And so Indra wakes up one morning. He looks out his courtyard, and he's surrounded by millions of demon warriors headed by Bully, and they look very powerful. And Shukadeva Goswami gives a nice description of the planet and the capital city of Indra. For instance, our roads are made of asphalt, but in the heavenly kingdom, the roads are made of diamonds, jewels, lapis lazuli. And it is described that the women of the heavenly planets, in the winter time, their bodies are warm to touch. And in summer, their bodies are cool. And there are other descriptions of the trees and all the nice facilities. If you read that, you go, hey, I'd like to go there. Sounds nice. But as you see, Indra, the king of heaven, he wakes up one day and he's in anxiety. So just as the demons have their guru, Shukracharya, the demigods have their guru, Brihaspati. And I've been told that his planet is the planet Jupiter. Brihaspati tells Indra and the demigods, now is not the time for you to fight. You're not going to be as strong as the demons because they have got this Brahminical Brahma Tejas on their side. So if you fight them now, you're going to lose. So Brihaspati tells Indra, all of you demigods should take some kind of disguised form, which they can do. They can change. Like sometimes you hear this expression, shape shifters. So the demigods can do that. They can change forms at will. So Brihaspati tells them, you should go in hiding. Later on, the time will be right for you to defeat the demons, not now. So the demigods leave their city, they leave their positions, and they go into hiding. Bali Maharaj now sits on the throne of Indra. Yes, now he's the ruler, because if you sit on Indra's throne, you're the king, king of heaven. So now the Brahmanas are telling Bali Maharaj, if you want to sit on this throne of Indra, you have to perform 100 horse sacrifices, just like Indra, and we will engage you in such, so that you will be fit to sit as king of heaven. Meanwhile, the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she is very, very upset. She does not like the fact that her sons have now gone and hiding themselves. And like a good mother, she's very concerned about her children. So her husband, Kashyapa, he is a great Prajapati. He had been away performing penances and was in samadhi for some time. When he came back to his ashram, he saw many signs which told him something is not right. He could see by the way the house was being kept, things were not right. Just like I have a favorite expression, happy wife means happy life. How many agree? Yes. That's another lecture for another time. So Kashyapa can tell, some approaches his wife and says, what's wrong? Have you committed some sin? Have you offended someone? And Aditi says, no. And she explains to Kashyapa what has happened. So she approaches her husband and says, you are a powerful rishi, sage, brahmana. You please find some way so that my sons headed by Indra, can return to their proper position. And meanwhile, Kashyapa is thinking. Because Kashyapa, he's detached from material life, family life. And so he marvels. Just see how this world is going on by family affection. This whole world is bound by family affection. But nevertheless, Kashyapa, a happy wife means happy life. So he has to do something to keep his wife happy. So he instructs her in a kind of vow, or vrata, where she will drink only milk for 12 days. And also she will worship Lord Vishnu, the maintainer. And Kashyapa says, if you do this payo vrata, your desire will be fulfilled. And sure enough, at the end of the 12 days, because Aditi strictly followed the instructions of her Brahmana husband, Lord Vishnu appears to her. And he says, I am fully aware of your anxiety. After all, who is in our hearts? Krishna Vishnu is in our hearts. He already knows what you're thinking. Just as you were thinking, he knows everything. He's omniscient. You can't hide from God. Not possible. That concept is also there in the Bible. In the story of Cain and Abel, that same concept is there. God was aware of what Cain had done to his brother Abel. So Lord Vishnu says, because of your husband's austerities, I will agree to act on your behalf. I will appear as your son, and I will figure out some way to get your children back into position. But it has to be done very carefully, because Lord Vishnu has to also respect the blessings of the brahmanas that are on the demons. He has to, so it's a bit of a challenge, you could say, for Lord Vishnu. He has to keep the blessings of the brahmins. He can't interfere with that. But at the same time, he has to get that Indra and the demigods get back. So what does he say? I will appear as your son. So on that day, which was Friday, called Vijaya Dashami. And when Lord Vishnu appeared, he turned himself and changed his form to look like a dwarf Brahmana. And the demigods appeared at this time, and they gave him worship. They gave him different presentations. And Mother Earth gave the first blessings, the first alms to Vamana. Meanwhile, Bali is in a holy place performing a sacrifice by the order of his guru, Shukracharya. So Vamana Dev comes exactly at a time in the sacrifice when it is permissible to ask for charity. And Bali Maharaj, when he sees Vamana, he is very, very attracted, because didn't I say Krishna's name means all attractive? All the incarnations of Krishna are attractive. So even though he's a dwarf Brahmana, Vamana Dev is also very, very attractive. Now, something else comes into play. Although Bali Maharaj is the king of the demons, and he plays the part perfectly, inside,
he's a devotee of the Lord.
Why is he a devotee? Because his grandfather is Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj is the best example of a devotee. So Prahlad had given much blessings upon his grandson. All grandfathers are like that. I'm a grandfather. Anyone who's a grandfather, they super love their grandchildren. So Bali Maharaj, even though he's the king of the demons and expertly is their king, deep inside, he's a devotee. So Vamanadeva approaches Bali Maharaj and says, "My dear king, I am a Brahmana. I have come to beg some donation from you. You are the king of the universe. I want 3 steps of land. That's all." Meanwhile, Shukracharya, he can see what's going on. He is a very, very powerful mystic Brahman. He knows that this is Lord Vishnu in disguise, and he knows what Lord Vishnu is up to. So Shukracharya tells Bali Maharaj, no. But Bali Maharaj says, "How can I break my promise? Nobody in my dynasty has ever broken their promise." Shukracharya knows that if he agrees to give the 3 steps to Vamanadeva, Shukracharya is going to be out of a job. There'll be no more opulent king. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to lose his position. And Bali Maharaj says, "No. Even if what you say is true, Gurudev, even if this is Vishnu and he has come to take everything away, I don't care. Because nobody in my dynasty, there's never been that low-minded king who has ever reneged on a promise. Let him do whatever he wants, but I must keep my promise." And then Bali tells his guru, Mother Earth, you know what Mother Earth says? Mother Earth says, "I can tolerate big, big mountains. I can tolerate everything." But Mother Earth says, "I cannot tolerate a liar." Now you know why we have earthquakes. Because we have too many liars. We have too much lying politicians. Too much lying. That's why they have more global warming and all this stuff. It's real. And why is it real? Because of the sinful activities of the human population. They want to stop this global warming. Stop killing cows. First order of business. Stop illicit sex. Stop intoxication. Shut down Las Vegas. Then you can have some nice environment. But as long as the people are sinful, it's up to the people. Forget the politicians. They're a crooked, rotten bunch. But you, the people, we have to be devotees. We have to become sinless. That is our Hare Krishna movement. We are telling people, stop sinful life, chant Hare Krishna. Everybody, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna. Krishna.